And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to a Chicago edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast. I am in Chicago. Marcus Thompson is not. The Warriors blew out the Bulls. How are you, sir?
Was it cold?
Yeah, I just walked out of the arena and it was snowing, like on the ground, and like kind of mushy snow. It's probably like right around like 32 degrees, nothing crazy. Although Minnesota's going to be like 15 and I'll be there in several hours from now.
I miss this trip, the winter trip. I love Chicago. I actually like Minnesota. But I like the snow. You know, us California boys don't get to see the snow that much. So I kind of wish I was there.
You know, the best snow trip so far, Denver had like a blizzard when I was there. Not even to cover a game, to cover a Klay Thompson practice. I think we talked about it, but that was like the prettiest looking snow. This is more, I just walked out, it was like kind of mushy on the cement, and, you know, cars driving over it. It's
good grimy Chicago snow, huh? It's a little,
it is.
Enough
it
to
is.
Get that, the shoes dirty.
That yeah. Darnell Mayberry snow.
You know what I'm saying? Rugged. Yes. Hey, I'll tell you what wasn't cold. The Golden State Warriors offense, finally.
Finally. They were in a cold weather city the night before, and they were cold. They were down. You see this stat? The Warriors pulled out, shout out to Daryl Arada from the Warriors. They just became the second team in history that were down by 30 or more in one game, and then at halftime in one game, and then the next game they're up by 30 or more at halftime.
Yeah, ESPN had a stat saying the 39 half point deficit to the 31 point halftime lead was, that's a 70 point swing, which is the largest in a back to back since like 55 or something like that. I mean, it's actually, I was jarred by it. I was surprised. I figured Chicago would play like hungrier because they just got smacked, but I did think the Warriors would like kind of bring it after getting blown out. So I thought we'd have a good game. And Turns out we did not. But I do think Zach LaVine getting hurt was a big deal.
Yeah, for sure. But like, you know, the game was going to trend this direction anyways. The Warriors were hot. And also, like, I did feel what you're saying, where I thought the fact that Steph Curry played in the game was a sign that, like, look, they're kind of, they want to right what went wrong the night before. Because Steph had sat, I think, one side of the last three back-to-backs. I was kind of curious if he was going to play, and he did. You know, no Peyton, though, no Draymond, no Klay, obviously resting. And I just, I would be, you know, if you're looking at this, I think, like, as somebody just an objective observer, I think you're more disappointed with what Chicago didn't do as opposed to what the Warriors did. But, you know, they did their job. They kind of, I guess, quelled any growing concerns, at least for now. And within that, a few interesting things happened. Obviously, I'll probably start with Kuminga. Is that where you, that's what I wrote about postgame.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. I mean, Kuminga was the most interesting part of the game to me. And I'm with you. Like, Chicago is very disappointing. I like Chicago. I had them pretty high before the season, and they kind of exceeded expectations. But I do think, like, Kuminga is a problem, man. Like, he's so athletic and so physical and so big. Man, DeRozan had a tough time. Again, the same formula we saw when they played in the Bay. Remember when he drew the foul on Kuminga, and then the rest of the time, like, Kuminga was staying down, and you could see on TV, I don't know if you saw it live, but on TV, you could see Kerr and Kuminga, like, laughing about it. Like, he was like, oh, he got me again, I forgot. And then he did really good on DeRozan, and especially with LaVine out of the game, you take DeRozan away, that team's pretty much done. So to me, he was the most interesting dude out there. It's just going to be hard for Steve to not put this guy in the rotation. Like, I mean, this is crazy because this didn't happen on a game where they just sat everybody out and didn't care. Like, this happened in a game they needed to win. Like, they needed this, and he provided something they just didn't have, which was rim pressure and just athletic explosion. So, like, at some point, I don't know how long he can keep him out of this lineup if he's looking like this.
So DeRozan had a pump fake on Wiggins very early in the game. Wiggins jumped at it, and he got to the line because of it. And right when that happened, I looked over. Steve Kerr does two things. First, puts his head down like, damn it, Wiggins. And then immediately gets up, walks like four players down the bench to Kuminga, and starts talking to Kuminga about the play. And like right there, you're like, oh, he's definitely planning to use DeRozan for parts of this night. And then, yeah, he came in. He held up well in that matchup. But even to me, importantly, scored 25 points. He was the leading scorer. He had like four dunks. He hit a couple threes. He got out in transition. I thought he had the play. Every time it happens, I mention it. But Steph Curry setting the inverted screen for him, and Steph Curry's defender never wants to leave him. So Kuminga just kind of curls downhill. It gets him a dunk like almost every time. He had three blocks, including a hustle block in the fourth quarter that I mentioned in my story for an obvious reason. If you read the story, three assists, a couple very nice assists. So it was his best game as a pro. But I don't think that guarantees Jonathan Kuminga rotation minutes on a nightly basis.
Of course he doesn't.
No, because Steve Kerr and this veteran team don't believe at this point they're going to get that Jonathan Kuminga on a nightly basis. They're trying to figure that out. But what I wrote about, basically, Steve Kerr, you know who I don't even want to say compare Jonathan Kuminga to postgame, but who he mentioned he wants Kuminga to play like.
Sean Marion, right?
Sean Marion.
Yeah.
And
it was the same conversation with Jordan Bell, right? Like, run the floor hard. Before we talk about anything else, I want you to run the floor hard every time. Like, I remember the same conversation with Jordan Bell.
Kuminga and Kerr sat down and looked at film recently, and Kerr, I guess, brought a bunch of clips of him not running the floor. And I went back, and it's not hard to find them. So I just went back to a random game where Kuminga played some minutes, found one where he didn't put it in my story. He floats a lot. It's like different than the Andrew Wiggins floating, but it's like kind of similar, right? When he just isn't using the athletic gifts that he has to just like make an impact. And obviously, it's the weird balance that the Warriors have to strike of like trying to develop him into like the best version of what he can be 5 years down the line, which could be Pascal Siakam, could be Paul George. Name your superstar 3-4 wing who is dominant, and that's what Kuminga believes he can be. And I think in a lot of ways, that's what he wants part of his rookie year to be, like developing that part of his game. But the Warriors, again, as we've talked about all year, it's like the underlying storyline of this whole team, want to win now. And Steph Curry had a diplomatic way of saying tonight he doesn't really care about the development of what these guys are going to be. It kind of matters what's going on right now. And for right now, I guess Kerr's point is like he needs to play like Sean Marion, which is like, you're never really featured much on offense. It's all you get everything off hustle, and if you just hustle really hard like Sean Marion did, you'll be basically Sean Marion was a fringe all-star because he just hustled.
Yeah, fringe Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Right, because I do think, like, obviously we know Kerr is playing the long game with this. And obviously, like, there's probably some truth to it. Like, I think it is difficult. It's a difficult skill to just have that motor going where you're running all the time. Because also at the same time, he's got to slow down once he has the ball, right? He's got to slow down and think while he's out there. And it's difficult to shift that gear full speed and then slow down and think. Tonight was an example of Kuminga thinking through the game. Like you said, curling off that Steph Curry pick and getting the dunk. You could see him literally taking time on his three-pointers. Making sure everything is okay instead of just jacking it up. Good, smart shots. Like, picking the driving lanes. There was one play where, I mean, I tweeted this, but I thought it was Andre Iguodala. Guy gets a rebound, dribbles up, and like slows up to get the right angle, passes it to Steph on the left wing, Steph hits the three, and then I look at this Kuminga, and it's like his ability to kind of like, he can read, he's got to read the game and see it and make the smart passes. And I think that is at conflict with this idea of running at full speed like your hair's on fire. I just think it takes some time to get. Jordan Bell is a super athlete, right? One of them dudes incredibly fast. He just couldn't get it, couldn't register to just sprint all out. And we saw tonight, too, if he gets a few layups and gets to the rim, it helps his shot. It helps his whole game. So if he can figure it out, like that's, those are buckets. Those are buckets he can get. But I think this kind of goes along with what you've been saying since the preseason. And, you know, a night like tonight kind of vindicates or validates the Warriors' plan of, like, piecing it together and taking their time. But how do you learn this without playing, right? He doesn't look like this in the G League, right? It doesn't even look. I don't even know if the G League is helping him. Maybe it is, but he Moody's doesn't look like this player in the G League. Moody's balling, and he balled again tonight, right?
Yeah, he went for 30. They went down to this Mississippi game in the G League right before the Memphis game, and Moody had 37. Kuminga had like a quiet 11 and didn't play that well, and then like sat the Memphis game because I guess knee soreness. And then yeah, Moody's scoring 32 in the G League tonight, and Kuminga's like, you know, looking like an all-star in Chicago on ESPN. It's been kind of odd how Kuminga hasn't really exploded in the G League. But, you know, it's Kuminga, it's so in and out with him. And again, like, I you know, it's tantalizing what you see tonight. But I remember they started him against the Kings, and he played six of the lowest energy inattentive minutes you've ever seen, and then left with like back tightness very mysteriously, where he went to the back, and it was during the health and safety protocol like part of the season, where it was like, did they just pull him, like, did he just maybe test positive? And they're like, no, he's in the back stretching, he'll probably be back soon. And then it was like, oh, he's questionable to return. Okay, he's not returning. And it was like, he just has these weird, like, super ineffective nights. I remember they were in Cleveland, and he was so bad in the first half in Cleveland that JTA took over his spot in the second half. And then JTA had, like, a big moment where he, you know, it was his night. He was the hustle, like, injection of energy. So we know how this team works. We know how Steve Kerr works. We know the situation where, look, Kuminga clearly has earned a rotation spot on Sunday in Minneapolis. But that's a first-half rotation spot that, if he does not perform well and hustle, that's JTA's spot in the second half, because that's just how it works.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I think a part of the issue is, like, they don't see him as a five, too. So he's got to play minutes at four or even three. But, like, so essentially they're going, without Draymond, they're going from Looney to Bielitsa as the big. And even Andre Iguodala, like, remember last game, Iguodala was playing super small ball center. But Kerr seems to want him next to a big. He wants him next to a Bielitsa or a Looney. But I think, man, I don't know. I feel like they can experiment at least with Kuminga at five, especially if he's on the floor with Steph. They're like, the space that Steph creates, like, if you attack it, it works. And he attacks it. He's got to attack it. He's got to actually do it. But when he's in attack mode and, like, these are lanes that are being created, like, he feels like he can get there. And Jordan Poole felt like he could get there a little bit tonight, too. You could see him going to the hole more. But it's not like fake. get a little contact, pull it back out, or don't want to shoot, pull it back out. Like, Kuminga's going to the rim. And to me, that is a skill worth having, especially while you're struggling. So maybe put him at the five. I don't think I'm with you. Steve's not going to do it. They want to see consistency in his in the outings they do give him. But, man, I don't know, bro. I think I've seen enough. I'm all ready for more Kuminga.
Yeah, for sure. And, look, to me, the trend of Steve Kerr and Kuminga this season has been, like, reward him for a chunk of games. I mean, remember he played well again in that Bulls game at home, so then he played in Charlotte when we were there, and he played pretty well in Charlotte, so he played in Brooklyn, and he played solidly in Brooklyn, and then what happened? Remember that road trip goes to Cleveland, and it was that Cleveland game I'm mentioning, and he was, like, a big reason why they were, like, so low energy, and then boom, JTA, who had been out of the rotation, has a nice night there, and then suddenly he was JTA's rotation spot for a couple weeks. So, Kuminga... The truth about this season for a guy like Jonathan Kuminga is, like, he's going to, like, he just basically earns himself another game. And then in that game, he has to earn himself another game. And, like, you know, so he's going to have this little structure where he's in the rotation. But with as deep as they are, with the fact that Draymond's probably coming back at the beginning of the next homestand, like, this rotation spot could be taken away from him.
He's got one game, huh? He's got one game left.
Yeah, I mean,
that's funny. You know who else has one game? No, he doesn't even have any more games, right? Jordan Poole as the starter.
Yeah.
I wonder, is there a scenario where Jordan Poole and Klay can start?
No.
This is not one, huh?
No, because, look, I mean, let's go through it. Steph Curry's going to start. Andrew Wiggins is going to start. Draymond Green is going to start.
And I mean, while Green is out, maybe. While Green is out.
Oh, yeah, sure. And maybe if Gary Payton can't play Sunday, I would actually say you should start Jordan Poole. Just go super small, especially against the Timberwolves. You could start Curry, Clay, Poole, Wiggins, Looney. Not only could you, that's literally how they started the second half in Milwaukee.
It was a good second half. That's right, yep.
Because Peyton had left with back tightness.
A second half that Kerr credited tonight's win for, right? Like, they won by 20 in the second half against Milwaukee and forced Giannis back into the game. The moral victories that get you through, Slater. You can't overlook the moral victories.
The moral victories. He was really about that. You know what was the moral victory? And this isn't a moral victory. This is actually a helpful victory they had. He was able in that blowout loss to play Klay Thompson for 10 straight minutes to start the third because he knew he wasn't going to need him to close the game. And Klay got through that well. And now they're bumping his minutes up. Expect about 24 Klay Thompson minutes on Sunday. So that's slightly newsy. I wanted to make this a quick podcast, so I just wanted to...
Wait. What is that rotation going to be? Did he say?
I assume it's going to be 6 and 6. Like, 6 on the front, 6 on the back of the hat. You know, first 6 minutes of the first quarter.
So the same, just adding a few minutes each.
Add 1 minute in each quarter, essentially. Which, like, you feel that. He's literally... that now we'll be playing half the game. You know, if you go... you're just playing half of every quarter. That's, you know...
I was wondering if he would break it up. Yeah, he is. I was just wondering if he would break it up instead of having that long break. But the break isn't that much longer if he's staying longer. I mean, it's still a legit break in between. But also, if it's a blowout, he'll bring him in early. Right? Yeah.
It's just like, look, Klay looks and feels really good, it sounds like. So, I mean, it's to me, it's trending towards, like, by the All-Star break, he's going to be up over 30.
Man, he looks ready now, though. But I mean, he looks like it. But obviously, you know, there's a lot of things they need to factor in. But yeah, 24. I wonder. I can imagine he's pressing them for more minutes. Like the way he looks like he feels good.
And he already is like clearly like, especially you know tonight notwithstanding, like he is up very much an offensive boost that shot, and they've needed that so. I think they're kind of itching to play him more.
He's certainly getting up enough shots in his time, that's for sure.
Yeah. In the Memphis game, you could tell he was like, when can I put Klay back in? Like, he was really wanting to get him back in because Klay was playing pretty good that night, and they were, like, really trying to win that game. The last thing, I wanted to go back to what you said on Poole because I think you were generally trying to get to a point to be made about, like, Jordan Poole. Klay Thompson arrived on the scene. Jordan Poole went to the bench and was really quiet for all three of Klay Thompson's game. Didn't do much. And then tonight he starts. It's like 8 quick points, super aggressive, ends up scoring, I think, 21. And even Wiggins, who was very quiet in the non-pool or in the Clay games, was aggressive tonight too. What do you think about those two? I mean, Poole probably more than Wiggins, but trying to bring what they brought tonight to the games where Clay is involved.
It's tough, man. Clay, I mean, you know, Clay isn't really moving the ball. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like anybody can develop a rhythm with him just kind of going for his like that. You know, he's getting off 14 shots in 20 minutes of play. So, like, it's not exactly 18 shots in 20 minutes, but that's a lot of shots in that little time. You could see the freedom that they had. Like, Jordan Poole had the ball in his hands a lot. Like, Steph's off the ball and Jordan Poole's running the show, and he can kind of like create at his own whim. Wiggins, how many times they post him up? Like, they posted him up all first half. It felt like every time down. Yeah. So, like, without Clay there, I do think there's a comfort zone that they've developed after all this time, especially Wiggins, right? This is 2 years of this. So I think it's going to be tough, and I think it's going to be a bit on Clay to kind of get into the offense. And the short windows he's playing, it makes him a hired gun, right? Like, it kind of puts him in the role of, hey, come in, be a Huckleberry and get these buckets. But as he gets more minutes and it's not just going to be all about, you know, going in to be an assassin, now they can move the ball. He can work and get some of these, like, develop the comfort. You could just see the difference. It was huge difference. Wiggins' shots were different. Like, how he got to the shots were different. And Jordan Poole had the ball a lot. And that just doesn't happen very much without Clay in the game. And I do think Gary Payton II not being there helped Jordan Poole too, because that's another dude who's kind of eating into Jordan Poole's minutes.
Yep. Yep. No doubt. So, I mean, yeah, I think Wiggins will be able to adapt. Now, the concern with Wiggins is, you know, you take some of that food off his table, well, suddenly he's playing, like, you know, less intense defense. He's not rebounding as aggressively. He's just, like, he's leaving less of an imprint on the game.
Or he missed a couple shots, and then it's like he's cold. You know what I'm saying? Like, he won't get it for a while.
Yeah, and so there is concern with Wiggins, but Poole to me is the bigger one, because, like, he's been so dynamic for them. It's so much of what they needed, and if he is the Poole you saw to open the game tonight, like, regularly when Steph is off the floor, like, they have, I mean, like, that's 48, like, pretty somebody that's dynamic for 48 minutes. So we'll see, though. You know, that's what the next really month, 2 months, 3 months are about. So, other than that, anything else for you this Saturday?
Hey, man, where are you eating tonight?
I'm thinking about going.
It's like 1:30, huh?
No, it's 12:30.
12:30.
I was actually just texting with a couple of people. There's a place called Elephant and Castle near me I might go to, because a lot of this, you know, this is. It's a big league city.
It's a real, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's real legit out there. Like, it's options. Yeah, I love
snow
Chicago.
Snow at 1 a.m. and you can still go find options. So.
Yeah, I love Chicago. Have fun, be safe, because it's going down in Minnesota. You're going to need, like, a mask and all that. Like, not like a COVID mask, but, like, cover your nose because it's burning from the cold
in like Minnesota. 14 degrees.
Yeah.
Who are you taking? Have at it. Niners, Cowboys, who are you taking? Get you on the record.
Niners winning that. Come on.
I'm taking Cowboys.
Of course you are. You still mad about Brian Flores getting fired? They act like it's the Niners' fault.
All right, I'm ending this podcast. we will talk to you next week.
Omaha! Omaha!
Thank you. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.